Translation in purple by His Divine Grace. Srila Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After drinking the water, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic that he began to dance. Thus everyone saw the pastime of attracting the river Yamuna. Purple. Yamuna Karshana Leela is the pastime of attracting Yamuna. One day Sri Baladev wanted the Yamuna River to come before him. And when the river Yamuna refused, he took his plow, wanting to dig a canal so that Yamuna would be obliged to come there. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original form of Baladev, in his ecstasy he asked everyone to bring honey. In this way, all the devotees standing there saw the Yamuna Karshana Leela. In this Leela, Baladev was accompanied by his girlfriends. After drinking a honey beverage called Varuni, he wanted to jump in the Yamuna and swim with the girls. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65, 25 to 30 and 33 that Lord Baladev asked Yamuna to come near. And when the river disobeyed the order of the Lord, he became angry and thus wanted to snatch her near to him with his plow. Yamuna, however, very much afraid of Lord Balaram's anger, immediately came and surrendered unto him, praying to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and admitting her fault. She was then excused. This is the sum and substance of the Yamuna Karshana, Leela. The incident is also described in the prayer of Jayadeva Goswami concerning the 10 incarnations. Vahasi vapusi visade vasanam jaladabam halahati biti milita yanmunabam keshavadrita haladara rupa jaya jagadisha hare. Okay. Omegyana tamarandasya. Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. So, the Lord has become ecstatic. And as is explained here by Srila Vishnu Chakravali Thakur, thus everyone saw the pastime of attracting the river Yamuna. So the Prabhupada mentions this pastime in Krishna book. So Lord Balaram is with his female cowherd friends. And he wants to bathe in the Yamuna. He wants to swim. So he calls the Yamuna. And actually, she refuses to come. So what has happened is the demigod Varuna, he sent his daughter Varuni. And she has manifested as like a liquid honey beverage through the hollows of the trees. And actually, Prabhupada writes that also the atmosphere has become very aromatic for that same reason. And so the consorts of Baladev and Baladev himself, they are taking this Varuni, and Baladev has become intoxicated. So what happens is when he calls a Yamuna, she refuses to come, thinking that he's drunk, basically. And then he becomes angry, and so Baladev has, you know, two weapons. We know that he has the gada, the club, but he also has the plow, and so he becomes very, very angry. And he threatens the Yamuna, actually. And he threatens to disperse the waters of the Yamuna. He sticks his plow in the ground. So the Yamuna, being very much fearful, she then submits to Baladev. And as you can see here, in the Krishna book, she offers different prayers to the Lord, recognizing his position and so on, and she surrenders to him. And Baladev becomes pacified. So he excuses her for her offense, and in that way, this pastime unfolds. It's interesting, the position of Baladev. I was reading this morning that in Ram Leela, Lakshman tells Ram, he says, "I'm tired of being your younger brother. I'm tired of being, you know, you're always telling me what to do and so on." He said, "This is the last time I'm going to be your younger brother." Yeah. And so when Krishna appears, Baladev appears, but Baladev is the older brother. And Baladev's mood is the fraternal rus, so it's friendship. But at the same time, it has tinges of servitude and parental rus is also there. Some tinges of there. In his mood and his exchanges towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's also perceived and he's interacted with by Krishna's eternal consort, Radharani. She interacts with Baladev in a very formal way because he's the elder. He's the elder of Krishna. And also Baladev has an expansion. His expansion is named Ananga Manjari. And so she is Radharani's younger sister. Okay, so she acts as an assistant to Radharani. So in one sense, he also facilitates in that way, but in that particular form, as Ananga Manjari. If we kind of focus outwards, it is interesting this idea of surrender. So Baladev has made a request. The request has been denied, and therefore, Alavanga, he's making a threat. It's interesting, this idea of following the instruction of the Lord as a theme. As we reflect upon our lives, generally as devotees, we see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has many voices in which he calls us. Okay? Krishna, the actual nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's actually very soft-hearted. He's an extremely soft-hearted person. So generally, he likes people to adhere to the instruction. Right? Because it is also more pleasing for him, because it's also more rasik. It is also more a loving exchange. It has that mood of a loving exchange. Someone who loves you dearly is requesting something from you. Yeah? And we should understand that. The nature of the request is he has provided all the paraphernalia already, and he's requesting something from you. And whatever you do with the paraphernalia and however you give it back, that is your own glorification. Because in that loving exchange, one not only, there's two subtleties to this. In the loving exchange, not only is it that one receives more, but in the loving exchange, one actually becomes more. When you examine devotees and the experience of growth in Krishna consciousness, by rendering devotional service, you actually become more than you were previously. So you change, or rather you blossom. One of the names of Krishna is mentioned in the 8th canto Bhagavatam, one who can cause others to flourish. So in the service to Krishna, the devotee becomes more. But there is also another voice, right? So Krishna has the soft or the gentle mercy, the sweet mercy. But he also has the bitter mercy, where there is some correction. Jashu Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jashu Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gonitai Gu Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So he also has this other type of mercy. Okay. And the other type of mercy is the bitter mercy. So it is the case that as devotees, sometimes we don't hear. Right? There are so many different subtleties to our scriptures. Sometimes we don't hear. That hearing has a mode. Okay? The ability to understand things by hearing is symptomatic of sattva. Okay? The ability to understand things by seeing, that is symptomatic of rajas. And the ability to only learn through experience, it is symptomatic of ignorance. So the more refined a particular individual's consciousness is, the more that they accelerate their ability to learn and progress in spiritual life. Everything actually in our teachings is interrelated. It is all subtly connected in that particular way. So the best way and the fastest way is you just catch it by hearing. Someone tells you, Prabhupada explained this in one purport, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing from the perfect source immediately makes your knowledge perfect. I got into a debate with some devotees because their whole thing was someone who has experience, they know what they're talking about. And I said, no. I said, actually, you can actually learn everything just by catching it. They didn't agree. And with good reason, actually, to be fair to them. There's two reasons why they didn't agree. One is because that's the nature that they learn. Right? Because, what is it that Prabhupada says? Everyone sees the world from their own perspective. Right? So you'll find this often in devotional circles. Someone will be very much attached to one aspect of the Shastra, which is correct. But it's correct because that's what resonates with them. The difficulty for us, especially in our Kanishtha stage, is that we do not have a comprehensive understanding of the scripture. So what happens is we've read something, and it's true, but we don't know that Prabhupada didn't say only that one thing about this particular point. He made another 10 statements about that same point. Right? So now the question is, why do I resonate and why do I grapple or hold on to that one statement and ignore the other 9? It's because that one statement resonates with my current level of devotional advancement, and it resonates with my current situation or my current nature. And because, unfortunately, in our earlier stages in spiritual life, we're a bit selfish, therefore we think that the way I am is the only way. And therefore, what resonates with me, that's the only truth, and all these other things are false. But no, they're also true. They're also true. And different things will resonate with us at different stages in our spiritual life. Anyway, that's an aside. The point is that there's different ways of learning. And you see, what happens is the different ways go from the more gross to the more subtle. You understand? So when we're talking about the mode of ignorance, it's the most gross. It's something that has to have an impact on all the senses. Here, this is gross. You have to be threatened before you behave properly. Okay, he's going to do something and he's powerful enough to do it. Let me surrender and do the right thing. It's a very harsh way to learn. Better than that, you see someone else gets in some trouble by doing something wrong. You see, this isn't actually good. The circumstances are difficult. But it's not happening to you. You're watching it. You're watching it happen to someone else, but it's not happening to you. It's gross, but it's not as gross as if it's happening to you, right? Because when it happens to you, it's more gross because it then affects your false ego, right? You're scared. Oh my God, I'm gonna lose something, etc. So it's less gross. That's why it's passion. Still engaging the senses, but less gross. Best is by hearing, right? Best is by hearing, but hearing is the most subtle. That's why it's the mode of goodness. It's more refined. Therefore, to catch it, the individual has to have a more refined level of consciousness to just catch it just by hearing. So what actually happens is you can also determine how much the different modes are playing on an individual's consciousness by seeing how much they can grasp, because it's not one or the other. In our lives, it's actually a mixture, right? There's a certain percentage that we can grasp just by hearing. There's a certain percentage that we only understand and only accept when we see it play out in the lives of others. And there's a certain percentage that happens only when we get hit with some experience directly. And Krishna knows that. Krishna is fully, fully aware of that. And therefore, he has a unique mix of experiences available for everyone. But though that mix changes according to our purification. So this pastime and all the pastimes are experienced on multiple levels. I was in communication with one devotee, and he made a point. I wanted to follow up with him and find out his reference. But to be honest, whether he has a reference or not, it's true. He was explaining that the Shastra can be understood on three levels, right? The Adi-Atmika level, the Adi-Daivika level, the Adi-Bhautika level. Right? So it can be understood in many, many different ways. And whether he has a reference or not, that is actually true. Right? There are multiple dimensions to our particular Shastra. And everything ultimately is perceived according to consciousness. In one sense, this entire purport and the wider pastime is extraordinary for one particular reason. Right? And that is that as we come together as an assembly of devotees, we are hearing about the Lord's pastimes. Just the fact that we have even come to the point where we have exposure to the fact that the Supreme has pastimes, this itself is unheard of. Okay? This is generally not the approach of religion. Because religion generally only recognizes that there's a God and there's a position and there's a position of servitude towards that Lord. There's nothing about his personal pastimes. You go to other traditions, generally you'll find nothing about personal pastimes. Right? See, and this brings us to a wider point that I was reflecting on recently. We don't actually make devotees. This is something that we should really understand. Even though we preach, even though ours is a preaching mission, we do not actually make devotees. What happens is that there are literally devotees everywhere, all over this planet, in different dresses, in different cultures, different ages. There are literally millions of devotees on this planet. And there are even devotees who you know about, who you may be interacting with on a day-to-day basis, and you don't know that they're devotees. However, they have paid certain dues in a previous life, or in this life, that have given them the sukriti, that when the transcendental message goes out, they will be stimulated and they will come forward. Okay? We don't make devotees. There are actually many living entities on the planet now. They don't have the sukriti at this particular time to understand and appreciate what we have. Right? They don't have the credit to understand what is being offered and to come forward. But there are many who do. And therefore, the duty of the devotees in this movement is to do everything that we can to send the transcendental vibration out, the transcendental message, and to make sure that in this lifetime, no one can say that they did not have an opportunity to understand Lord Chaitanya's message. And once that message is received by the living entity, what they do with that message, how they are stimulated by that message, and how they respond to that message, that is an affair between them and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the success of a devotee is actually literally how we have made that message available to the entire world's humanity. That is the nature of this Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada will ask us, how did you make my message available? Now there's another point. And that is, the more that we become the message, the more potency that we have to deliver the message as it is, and to deliver it in such a way that there is a greater chance of the individual being stimulated to accept the message, right? Because we see on the one level, it is about the individuals having the sukriti to be sensitive to that message and to take advantage of it. Now, at the same time, that sukriti is a dynamic affair. Every time a living entity interacts with a devotee in a favorable way, what is happening to their sukriti? It's increasing, right? However, there's a nuance to it. Depending on the purity of the devotee, how much does their sukriti increase? Is it the same level of increase depending on who they associate with? No, what's the difference? The more purity, what happens to the sukriti? The greater the sukriti. Very clear, right? Therefore, when Prabhupada's disciples said to Prabhupada, it is said in Shastra that someone who comes to Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, they must have bathed in all the holy rivers, read all the Shastra, all of these things. They said to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, we don't feel that we did all of these things. So how is it that in this lifetime, we have been able to be blessed to come to Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, I am your pious credits. And he means that literally, by the way. Right? It is analogous to someone being a billionaire, right? You've been working for years, but you've not been able to put away much in terms of savings, okay? But someone who's a billionaire, they can make you a millionaire overnight. It is simply a question of following through on the instructions that have been given by that particular individual. And that following through has two different levels. There is the letter of the law and there is the spirit of the law. It is the difference between the second class disciple and the first class disciple. The second class disciple follows the letter of the law. Your guru tells you to do something, you do it, there's some benefit. First class disciple understands the mood and the mind of the spiritual master. Because they understand both the mood and the mind of the spiritual master, they understand in circumstance by circumstance what will be pleasing to Guru. Right? Baladev is the original Guru, so this is why we're also touching upon this. Guru Tattva. They understand what is the mind of the spiritual master. What would the spiritual master want? Right? And that is a very deep statement. Because it's what would they want in terms of activity? What is the mentality that they would want me to have during this situation? So it's thinking, it's feeling, and it's willing. Okay? Gross and subtle. And based upon that, there is a certain level of reciprocation and there is a certain level of concomitant blessing. Right? When we engage in this mission of sharing Krishna consciousness with others, what does it do? It actually unties some of the knots within the heart. Because it is a cleansing process. We are cleansed and we receive reciprocation based upon how we make this available to other people. The more that we sincerely make it available, the more that we also access it more deeply within our own consciousness. But unfortunately, there are so many blocks within the heart. And we actually do not have the power or the strength to untie those knots. Right? So Krishna consciousness is a matter of grace. Who is Balaram? He is the original guru. So by following the instructions of the spiritual master, by his grace, actually, those knots are untied. What you cannot do for yourself, by the grace of the spiritual master, it will be undone on your behalf. Okay? But that is by following through. So all of these subtleties are there. And when we do that, we are able to experience more, we become more. Now, when we become more, then anything that is done in relation to that devotee has more potency. Right? Therefore, as Prabhupada says, purity is automatically the force. Right? There's another subtlety to bring out here. Sometimes it's considered controversial, but that doesn't actually matter. There is a lot more to the teachings of Krishna consciousness even than you see in the scriptures. Right? It is meant to be a dynamic, living theology. So if someone even that chanting, the chanting is an extremely esoteric and primary aspect of our entire theology. Your entire spiritual life is like a vehicle, okay? And the chanting is like the fuel of that particular vehicle. So when we chant, the quality of that chanting, the quantity of that chanting, the dedication of that chanting, it is analogous to the quality of the fuel that is entering into the vehicle. It is also a quality of how much fuel actually enters in, right? To the degree that we're really chanting, to that degree that the fuel really gets into that vehicle and empowers that vehicle to go along a particular journey that we call bhakti. If you use low-grade fuel, the speed of the progress is also concomitantly low-grade. So everything is actually empowered by the holy names of the Lord. And therefore, to be really honest, if you chant sincerely enough, Krishna can reveal to you everything in the scripture and many, many, many things beyond. It is not just a question of book knowledge, because we experience the teachings according to consciousness. In fact, everything is experienced according to consciousness. Everything. Right? It is much deeper. Sometimes in our movement, you get people, to be honest, and they're proud. They're very, like, I'm a proud scholar. But to be honest, it doesn't mean that you really understand this. It is not by book learning that you understand Shastra. It is actually an affair of grace. It must come for realization, for actual realization. It can only come by mercy. But the endeavor has to be there to receive that particular mercy. Otherwise, you can learn all the verses, you can learn all the different tattva points and so on, and still literally be obnoxious and neophyte. Okay? This is actually how it goes. The sign that someone has actually learned the Shastra is that they're humble. If you see someone who's puffed up, it means they have not understood what they've read. They've not understood what they've heard. Right? You cannot understand the philosophy and still have a big false ego. The two things cannot coexist. Because the philosophy has a conclusion. Vedeshcha sarve aham eva vedyo, vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. The entire purpose of our teachings is to know Krishna. Okay? And to know him in truth is to love him and to serve him. We have no other business. Right? That's the entire purport and conclusion of every single syllable of our tradition. Right? Is entirely meant for that one purpose. So someone who's understood, they're humble. Now, let's look at another thing. Sometimes there's a tendency to, again, misunderstand the teachings. What the difference between the Kanishtha and the Madhyam is that the Madhyam has a comprehensive understanding of the scripture. The Kanishtha has read the scriptures, hopefully, or part of them, and they have a partial understanding, right? Kan means to seek, kanishta. Kan means to seek, that prefix. Nishta means what? Nishta means? Nishta, steadiness, right? Kanishta. So kanishta, the kanishta adhikari is one who is seeking steadiness, right? So prior to the platform of nishta, that's kanishta, right? That's one definition of it. Can nishta, those who are seeking the platform of nishta. Right? So the kanishta, one of the symptoms is a partial understanding. Right. So one example. There's one purport that Prabhupada says, it is not about one's endeavor, one must have the grace of the spiritual master in order to progress. Right? There is another place where Prabhupada says that the Lord is not partial, everything depends on the quality of one's endeavor. Right? So sometimes if a devotee does not have a comprehensive understanding, they've read one thing and they, yes, Prabhupada said it's about your endeavor. And it's true, he did say that. In another place, he says actually it's all about grace. Right? And both things are true. And those two things are reconciled in Damodara Lila. And reconciled explicitly by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Madhurya Kadambini, where he explains that this effort which attracts what? Mercy. Both things are true. Sometimes in philosophy, this is called diunital. You have two seeming contradictions, but they come together in a higher sense to be both completely true. Right? So, in a similar way, we have this idea that there is one thing, but there is not another. No, both things can actually be true. But they are true in different ways, but from a different perspective. And you'll find that consistently throughout our teachings. So when there's a comprehensive understanding, you can see how both things are actually true at the same time. And you can also see how something is true, but it's true for a given circumstance. So sometimes people argue, how are we going to spread this mission? How are we going to spread this movement? And it can be quick to get into, Prabhupada said this. Yes. Yes. Prabhupada could have definitely have said that. And at the same time, it may be the case that we still shouldn't follow it. But Prabhupada said it. Okay, but that statement, is that the thing to emphasize in this context? Right? So you're looking for what we call best fit. Of the different approaches given by the acharyas, which is going to achieve their purpose in this time, place, and circumstance? Right? Now, where does this come from? Okay, this sounds very nice, but where is this from? This is from a deep understanding of the entire pastimes of the acharya. Again, a very simple example. Prabhupada comes to the West. Traditionally in Vedic culture, do women practice devotional service in an ashram? Yes or no? No. Okay? So they don't practice in an ashram. Prabhupada makes ashrams available to both men and women. Now he explains explicitly why he's done this. He explains that he sees the situation in the Western world is such that it will be unfavorable for them to try and practice at home. Therefore, he creates the ashrams so that both genders can practice Krishna consciousness. So everything has a sambandha, has an abhideya, and has a prayojana. The first thing is, what's the goal? The goal is to make Krishna consciousness available to everyone as much as possible. That's the prayojana, right? So you start, what's my goal? Then you look at the sambandha, what's the current context? What's the situation that we are in? Okay? And once you understand the current situation, and you know what you're trying to achieve, the two things that connects the prayojana and the sambandha is the what? Is the abhideya, right? It is a decision or an action that takes you from your current situation towards your goal. Okay? So very, very simple. So when we understand that we want to make it available to everyone, then we do an analysis of who we're dealing with. If you look in Lilamrita, Prabhupada, when he first came, what was he doing? What was he first doing when he first came into contact with Westerners? What was he actually doing? He was observing them to understand what? The culture and their what? The mentality. He was observing to understand, who am I dealing with? And based upon who I'm dealing with, how do I make sure that this Krishna consciousness is most packaged to make it available for the individuals that I'm dealing with in the Western world? And that is an expression of his compassion. When we don't have compassion, we actually don't care who we're dealing with, right? And when we have no compassion, which is really unfortunate, we forget what we were like before we came to this movement. And that's really unfortunate. Because it is like someone who had no qualification, they were given some very valuable gift. But the moment they were given the gift, they start thinking, I deserve it, I'm very special, and these other people, they're less than me. No, actually, they're not less than us. We were like them. In fact, in many cases, we're still like them. We're still like them, actually, in consciousness. It's just that we dress differently and we hang out in the temple sometimes. Right? We're still like them. Right? Prakriti Bhakta, literally, Prabhupada says in one letter, he says in one statement, the Kanishtha Adhikari is on the threshold of devotion. Think about that statement. On the threshold of devotion. To give it a political flavor to it. Right? There's this whole thing about, the border, Mexico, America, right? And stopping people coming over the border. So at least at my level, I'm like someone who's standing on the border, right? On the border between material life and spiritual life. So because the devotees and the acharyas are merciful, when you're standing on the border, the fact that you're looking towards America, they say you're an American citizen, right? At the same time, you can consider that you're coming from Mexico, right? Hombre, okay? So you have all the trappings of Mexican culture. It's just the fact that you're looking towards America, that they're liberal, and they say, okay, he's looking towards America, he wants to get into the U.S., therefore we'll call him a U.S. citizen, right? He's been dreaming about America, he's read a few things, right? He likes to watch American TV programs, okay? And he says, homie sometimes, something like that. So they're giving you that kind of liberal thing. But factually speaking, the acculturation is from Mexico, or Mexico, okay? So that's what it means, prakriti. Prabhupada translates nectar of instruction. Prabhupada translates prakriti bhakta as materialistic devotee, which is almost a contradiction in terms, materialistic devotee. So we still have a lot in common with those who are not engaged in Krishna consciousness. So we should be very, very humble and very, very compassionate. Okay, that's the point. So we make it available by remembering what we were like before we came in, right? That's the reference point. How did I tend to think? How did I tend to feel? How did I tend to act? And therefore, how am I going to explain this philosophy? First canto, chapter 4, text number 1, purport. Prabhupada explicitly tells us to explain this philosophy in a way that's suitable to the audience that we're dealing with. Not in a way that you feel good about. In a way that's suitable to your audience. It's not about you. It's about them. He says, this is called realization. Right? That is what we're meant to be doing. And the more that we make it available, you will see a miracle happen, not just in the lives of others, but as we said, you will see a miracle happen in your own life. In your own life. The more you give, materially, the more you give something away, you have less. But the wonderful thing about transcendence is that the more you make it available, right? And in quality and in quantity, right? The more you make it available, the more it unlocks in your own consciousness. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. The more you sincerely, and this is why I talked about the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Because in our movement, from the moment you join this movement, you are engaged, whether you know it or not, in a very intense, very esoteric, and very deep loving exchange. It's a personal thing, right? This is not a religion. This is a personal, loving relationship with unique individuals. It is not just Krishna, actually, to be honest. It's not just him, although he is foremost. You have relationships in the spiritual world. You have a relationship, relationships, plural, in the spiritual world because you are part of an eternal spiritual community. So what happens is when one returns to the spiritual world, the spiritual master also has an identity. And that spiritual master also has a form, okay? And that spiritual master introduces you back into that spiritual community, which is incredibly esoteric. So it is a transcendental loving exchange which is unfolding. But that unfoldment is also because of a mood. So you can do the same service, but you can do it in a mood that is favorable to relationship, or you can do the service in a mood that is unfavorable to the relationship. And therefore the relationship will unfold or will freeze accordingly. In one sense, in this purport, Balaram has become angry because an offense has been made. If you engage in devotional service offensively, you're damaging your relationship. You understand? That's the point. You do things offensively, you're harming your relationship. The relationship will not unfold in the same way. The same emotions will not unfold in you towards the divine couple in the way that it should. Okay? That is the purport of this particular point. So we want to make sure that we follow the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. We want to make sure that in Krishna consciousness, we don't forget what we're trying to do. This is not the International Society for Running Around. I'm just being really honest, right? Because we are at different stages in our devotion, different things will be emphasized or different things will be foremost. So I'm preparing this seminar. I was in contact with the Manor to get a date for one of these College of Vedic Studies seminars. And so I'm preparing this seminar called the Sonic Escape. And it's about chanting. It's about four levels of chanting. So it is mentioned that the first... Anyway, we won't go into the whole thing now, but I'll just explain one or two things because it relates to this particular point. So there are four levels of sound. And the first one is called Vaikari Vak. And this is gross sound, okay? And when one is chanting on the level of Vaikari Vak, that is Namaparad, right? It is, you could call it lip service. So you're chanting with your lips, but your mind is somewhere else, okay? So... what happens at Vaikari Vak, there's also a certain potency that is invoked, right? So at Vaikari Vak, the potency that's invoked is the Lord's Kriya Shakti, right? The Lord's potency for activity. Because of our neophyte status, sometimes devotees think that whoever's running around the most, that they're the best devotee. And again, Atmavam Manyate Jagat, it's usually because that's what I value. I'm into running around, so I think that anyone who's not running around, they're just, you know, gyanis, or they're just material, you know, they're lazy. No, actually, they may be more advanced than you, it's just that you're running around because you're in the mode of passion. Right? Let's be very honest. How many of us could sit down and actually read for hours? I can't do it. Right? And most of the devotees actually can't do it, because there's a lack of sattva in our consciousness, to be very honest. We will frame it that, yes, because I'm so compassionate for the fallen conditioned souls and I've got to be busy in spreading the mission. You're not above a bhakti. Don't worry about it. It's because you're in the mode of passion. Therefore, we are given that activity to run around a lot. And that's fine. There's a place for that. But we should be honest. That's what it means to be humble. We should be honest to know that's why I'm doing this. It's because there's a lot of passion in me. I can't sit still, so I need to engage it. Fine, do it. Yeah. Again, we should understand what's really going on. Anyway, the whole idea is that Kriya Shakti is there, the potency for activity, so being very physically active in one sense, okay? But different potencies are invoked at different stages of chanting. Yeah? And therefore, it's a very rich experience when we understand where we are in this journey and where we need to go. If we do things with the right mood, your Krishna consciousness, it will unfold in tremendous ways. What tends to happen in the life of devotees is we often think that we will be happier by doing what we want, but not really. If you examine your own life carefully, you'll see that the times that you are happiest in Krishna consciousness is where you tried sincerely to endeavor to do what Krishna wanted of you. Right? To sincerely put, even if it meant some inconvenience to you, but to do or to please your guru, Prabhupada, Krishna, to do what they want. If you look back, you'll find the times that you were surrendered, actually, they were the times that you were the happiest, because it gave a certain fullness to your heart, a certain joy that you actually cannot get and cannot replicate in any other way, shape, or form. And that's the truth. So, you see, the thing is, we sometimes, and here Balaram is being forceful. But we should be intelligent enough to catch things by hearing. Right? This having to be punished before you behave properly, it's for low-class people. I'm being very honest. And unfortunately, sometimes we have a lot of that going on. Right? Unfortunately, we have a lot of that going on. If people's consciousness is very low, Prabhupada talks about the kings, right? What does Maharaj Pariksit do when he sees Kali? He's prepared to kill Kali, right? But that having to experience such a gross punishment before you behave properly, it's actually for low-class people. We should try to have the consciousness that we can understand things by hearing. Because if you catch things by hearing, which is a sign that you're more intelligent, you can move forward in spiritual life far more quickly. And you can avoid things, difficulties, challenges, because what happens is when you catch things on a subtle level, you catch things before they manifest in their gross form. Does that make some sense? Yeah? So when you chant, when you read, when you hear, when you associate, this is a process of refining the consciousness, purifying the consciousness, making it really refined. Krishna is the most refined. You read about Krishna's pastimes, his skin is so soft that when you touch it, it leaves an indent, right? Because he's so refined. The residents of Vrindavan, they're so refined. You look at the pure devotees, you see a video of Prabhupada. He has come from India, you look at him walk, everything. It's like aristocracy. It is so refined. The movements and the mannerisms, because they are reflective of a very purified and very refined consciousness. So if we engage in that process with heart, properly, sincerely, you can experience all kinds of amazing things. And it is just it is completely available to all of us. At all times, Krishna wants you to come back to him more than you actually want to come back. That's the point. This is the real world. There's a spiritual world where these pastimes are unfolding all the time. And you have friends and family there, actually. Friends and family in that spiritual world. And they're waiting for you also to come back. It's important to reflect on this from time to time, because it gives perspective to what goes on in this world. Yeah? Otherwise, what happens is we become engrossed. Again, with Vaikarivak, this fourth level of sound, which is gross sound, that relates to Namaparat, it relates to the Kriya Shakti, and each level of sound has a smaranam, has a remembrance. Okay, at the level of gross sound, the smaranam, the remembrance, is Maya smaranam. So at the Kanishta stage, where we are just chanting with lip service, we tend to remember Maya. Right? We tend to get absorbed in the materialistic frame of things. But there is actually so much more to life. Right? And that is why Prabhupada has made all of this literature available, so we can actually start to think about the leelas, the pastimes, the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, it's just amazing. There's actually a pastime where Balaram, by chance, he perceives Krishna's pastimes. He's perceiving Krishna with the gopis, right? He's hiding and he's watching from a distance. And Krishna's dancing, okay? And Krishna's dancing is so graceful that Balaram is watching Krishna's dancing and his moves, and Balaram becomes so absorbed in Krishna's movements and his dancing that Balaram's complexion changes from white to blackish. Right? And when Balaram's watching Krishna's engagement and dancing, as he's watching, he sees that the gopis that Krishna's dancing with, he keeps looking at them and he's thinking, they all look like the same person. Right, he's watching and he's thinking, Krishna, there's many forms of Krishna, and he's dancing with these gopis, and he's thinking, all of these gopis look like exactly the same person. And at a certain point he realizes, yes, because they are the same person, because Radharani, she's expanded herself and Krishna's expanded himself, and so each pair is Radha and Krishna dancing. The point is that there is so much more to our existence than what we are absorbed in the day-to-day. So to get this bigger perspective, you have to understand what's really going on. Yeah, that's the point. We have to understand what is actually going on. This world is a tiny part of the material creation. One very tiny part of the material creation. There is actually so much more going on, and you belong to that greater experience. So if you think about this, you know, the Lord and his associates in the spiritual world, the fact that that is our real home, it puts everything in context. Everything in context. And by thinking a certain way, you will then feel a certain way. By feeling a certain way, you will then also act a certain way. And that activity will be the qualitative and quantitative deeper dive in Krishna consciousness, which will bring us back to that spiritual platform all the more quickly. Does that make some sense? Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janita Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Okay.